You've probably heard of the Anthropocene age, and you're probably aware that we currently live in the Holocene age. These ages are meant to define geological epochs. The Holocene age commenced at the end of the last ice age. All of human history since the dawn of agriculture and the rise of civilization has taken place within the Holocene. It was an age of relatively stable climate and comparatively little geological upheaval. Geological science are now suggesting that we've entered into a new age, the Anthropocene. Humanity, they argue, no longer merely exploits and befouls nature, but human activity is now the cause of fundamental and disastrous changes to the natural world. Today I'm sharing an article entitled Reinhabiting Planet Earth by Robert Kohler. Kohler begins with a quotation. I believe that for a moment I thought the explosion might set fire to the atmosphere and thus finish the Earth, even though I knew that was not possible. These words of Manhattan Project physicist Emilio Segre, quoted by Richard Rhodes in his book, The Making of the Atomic Bomb, refer to the Trinity blast on July 16, 1945, at Alamogordo, New Mexico, the first atomic explosion in history, and so it appears a turning point for all of life on this planet. The atmosphere didn't catch fire on 5:30 that morning, but Segre's words remain relevant, sort of like radioactive fallout. They encapsulate what may be history's ultimate moment of human arrogance, the belief in a sense of separateness from and superiority to nature, so thorough that we have, with our monstrous intelligence, the ability, and therefore the right, to play bad God and make the whole planet go poof. Turns out the Trinity test set in motion something even more profound than the nuclear era. The bomb didn't just defeat Japan and define the Cold War with a suicidal nuclear arms race. It also, at least symbolically, marks the beginning of what has become to be known as the Anthropocene, an era of profound climate and Earth system destabilization caused by human activity, and therefore, like it or not, establishing humans as co-equal participants in the activity of the natural world. There's more to this co-equal status than nuclear weapons, of course. They may be the tip of our arrogance, but we've been exploiting and rearranging the planet for nearly 12,000 years since the beginning of the era we are now leaving, the Holocene, an era of climate stability in which human civilization and all written history emerged. From the development of agriculture to the Industrial Revolution, the plundering of the earth for oil, coal, the spewing of infinitesimal plastic nurdles across the planet, the creation of continent-sized trash mounds afloat in the oceans, the replacement of biodiversity with monoculture, the poisoning of air and water, and yes, nuclear testing and the spread of radioactive fallout, humanity, or at least a small portion of it, has exercised an intelligence with a serious moral void. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. Or as David Gorton put it, humans might be the first species to knowingly choose self-extinction. In the Anthropocene, the old simplicities are gone, writes Mark Garvin. We are no longer human subjects acting upon an objective nature outside us. Nature and human are now bound together. Free nature is over. Free humanity is over. They are relics of the Holocene. In our new age, Earth and human are entangled irrevocably together. Welcome to the area of the Earth-bound responsibility. The assumptions, the myths, the illusions of the Holocene no longer apply. End quote. And any institution founded on such myths and illusions, that the planet is ours to exploit, that some people matter more than others, that national borders are real, that dehumanizing and killing one another keeps us safe, that money equals God and cannot and will not survive in the Anthropocene, and the solutions that emerge from such institutions, for example, solving the climate crisis, are rooted in failure. The challenge, says Garvin, is to rethink and re-inhabit our planet, end quote. That is to say, we have to start over. And I think that's what's happening. New values are percolating. So are old values, the values human beings once embraced as they claimed the right to occupy planet Earth. These values include interdependence and cooperation and profound reverence for the planet. Rupert Ross, in his book Running to the Teachings, points out, for instance, Dakota had no language for insulting other orders of existence. Pest, waste, weed. A distance understanding is not primitive. It includes cooperation and compassion in its grasp of how things work, of what it means to live within the circle of life. The indigenous peoples of the planet have remained its protectors. As EcoWatch, a leading environmental news page, points out, even the seemingly groundbreaking Paris Agreement neither includes human rights in its text nor acknowledges indigenous rights. even though lands and waters stewarded by indigenous communities make up 80% of the world's biodiversity. What we need is for climate policy and the overall climate movement to address problems of inequality. Basic climate change is just as much a social issue as it is an environmental issue, end quote. In other words, biodiversity and social diversity are both precious. Knowing this means re-inhabiting the planet, not setting it on fire. That was an article entitled Re-inhabiting Planet Earth by Robert Kohler for the Counterpunch webpage. Robert Kohler, Chicago award-winning journalist and editor.